Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is the Sun Page. Glad you could join us, especially for outside in the chat room. And again, of course, you betcha. This is Hillary. We're ready for that chance to be president, of course. Okay, so first calamity.
Well, it's the post-election blues for now, at least for the next 2 years.
Well, you know, Robert Wright made a post on Facebook that was pretty enlightening. He said that the last time this happened, Gingrich was the one who won the big seat in the House, and he pulled so much BS that it calamitated the Republicans for a long time. And he suggested there were great opportunities in this. I've seen nothing but the drivel of it all is, this is my opinion, of course, gentlemen, but the drivel of it all is that all the Democrats did was say, hey, we're better than Republicans. It's being written a lot, of course, but I think it's pretty spot on. The majority of incumbent Democrats had a feeling they had it all locked in, because how could anybody be that, bent over to want to give them
I think more accurately, they just ran a timid campaign like they always do. They always want to be Republican light, and that's why they're losing so many elections. Harry Truman put it best a long time ago. He said anytime the Democrats ape Republicans, they get beat. And he nailed it right there. And that was years ago.
I think the exact quote, Jack, was given the choice of a Republican or a Democrat talking like a Republican, the public will vote for the Republican every time. And that's what I think we ran into this time.
Exactly.
They voted for the Republican.
And virtually nobody stood up for the president's Affordable Care Act. So they ran from him and the thing. And, there's a lot to run from him on. But in a time like this, it didn't serve them very well. And they ended up, a lot of them got – I was very surprised to see so many go down, like Kay Hagan. I thought she was going to sneak by. And Jean Shaheen barely won.
War strategists, as far as the political war goes, they are not war strategists. I mean, Debbie.
No, not at all.
They're not even
good tacticians.
Debbie Wasserman Schultz said that there was going to be an investigation through the Democratic Party. And it's like, really? Are you kidding?
Maybe that would just throw her out of her post.
Well, and you know, the first thing that's going to happen here, though, and mind you, I am talking about the president I've observed that knows how to run fast from a fight.
Oh, yeah.
I think the first thing you're going to see here is a little bipartisan cooperation to open it up right, and he'll pass Keystone Pipeline or something.
Yeah, I'm sure he will.
As nasty. And
that'll be the first thing on the Republicans' agenda. They want that real bad. And he'll cave like he always does.
Yeah, the one thing that people didn't notice so much the last time this happened was Clinton caved, too. Look what happened with Wall Street. Glass-Steagall's field. I mean, you got people doing the same dances. And it's absolutely, they're all owned, they're all bought, the majority of them. I mean, by majority, I don't mean a little over 50%. I mean 89% of the people.
Yeah, a huge amount. Very true.
In national politics are beholden to corporations, and the corporations just got sold the shop.
The sad thing is the wackos got elected this time. That Joni Ernst is out of her mind. She is absolutely crazy. And she's the Michelle Bachmann of Iowa, and she is going to be in for 6 years now. That is a tragedy. Paul LePage, that horrible governor of Maine, got reelected barely. But,
oh,
I mean, it's just pathetic.
I know.
The only bright spot is that Tom Corbett got handily beat in Pennsylvania. But, you know, as far as the rest of the spectrum goes, you know, there were a few successes here and there. Minnesota here, Al Franken got reelected like I knew he would. And so did my Keith Ellison got reelected in my district. And Mark Dayton got reelected too. But by and large, there were very few things to crow about for the Democratic Party on election night. They're too busy running from their own record, or they're running away or trying to sound like Republicans, and they get beat every time they do that.
Exactly. Yes, you're right. I throw in a lot of onus on Obama. He should have been more like old Harry Truman, stood toe to toe with him. Harry Truman would even tell the Republicans, in these words, he would call them dumbasses.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
You know, he. And by the way, he also happens to be a 33rd degree Mason. I have a lot of respect for him, but he called it like he saw it. He stood toe to toe with him, and. Mm-hmm. He never suffered the defeat that, even though he had a Republican Congress, but he called him out on it.
He blasted him.
And
he blasted him, and he won the next election. Yep.
Exactly.
We'll see if the Democrats are strong enough to recover from this.
Gentlemen, I have a piece I want to play here that David introduced. Just a minute.
Great.
All right.
Hi, David.
We've always said our best days are ahead of us. Freedom, opportunity, a better world for our children. But right now, that future is being taken from us. And while we don't always agree on how to turn the tide, there's one thing everyone can agree on. Something's broken. If you can't find a job, then you can't get insured, while the family next door fights foreclosure. While our country drowns in debt, your tax dollars go to waste. And 16 million American kids are in poverty. Pollution is everywhere. Society is fractured. Americans everywhere are barely getting by. This is not the America we were promised. This is not of, by, and for the people. We the people have been replaced, and money is all that matters in politics. Mm-hmm. Bribery has been legalized, elections are auctioned, and our government is so corrupt that it no longer works for its people. We can fix this, but we can't just change the rules. We have to change the entire game. This is the American Anti-Corruption Act, and this changes everything. Eliminate corruption. End the auction. Stop the bribery. Get money out, and the people will get back in. Economists and environmentalists, veterans and conservatives, activists for social justice, global warming, financial reform, and free markets. From the Tea Party to Occupy, Democrats, Republicans, Independents, we will stand together as 1 million united citizens, because this is not about right versus left, it's about right versus wrong. And when there's a million of us standing, we'll get two, and then three, and we'll keep on standing until we don't need to ask our broken Congress to pass this law. We'll simply tell them, the time has come.
That's great. I heard something similar on Dennis Traynor's Acronym TV this past week right after the election on Free Speech TV. That was very similar to that message. So, and it's true.
It's true, but is it going to be feasibly obtained?
Gentlemen, it's called actually the American Anti-Corruption Act, and it is something out there. Google it, find out about it, get behind it if you feel it's good. I'm just going to inject here, David. He's saying that Democrats are ashamed to be Democrats. They don't have an agenda, and they certainly don't have a message. They're not anti-war. They're not anti-environment. They're not against Wall Street corruption, and they are not pro-union. Why should they get votes? Torture, drones, TPP, you name it. The Democrats.
Yeah, good point. Yep.
Money has corrupted them. as they have to have money to play the game. Right now, 70% of a politician's time is spent raising money, their own.
Yeah.
And it's double time for Republicans.
Oh, yeah. Well, I would recommend to everybody, I've done it before and I'll do it again, and I'll do it again in my next post. Go to movetoamend.org. That's a very sincere and hard-fought effort to get rid of this horrible Supreme Court decision, Citizens United, that says corporations are human beings and that they and that money is free speech. It's a move to amend the Constitution to refute both those statements and get rid of the corporate money that's involved in politics way too much now these days.
Well, and that's a very good point, Jack. And the further thing I'd like, those that did not show up to vote,
yes,
because the turnout was the lowest ever in the last,
yep,
you know, like 100 years or something. What the real catastrophe is here is the next appointment to the Supreme Court. You already have a slight majority, you know, with one or two of them can float either way.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm afraid that this next appointee is going to be, he'll be like Thomas on steroids.
I hope not. My God, it's
well,
a very good point.
And
nobody thinks of that.
And the thing, that Supreme Court is a long-lasting effect on conservative or progressive politics. And right now, it's headed into, and the thing is, and the true losers, and I'm going to quote your own post here, Jack, the true losers are the working middle class of this country.
Exactly.
That's the sad
big
part. They took
and you know,
the big hit.
You know, the sad thing is the Democrats just didn't do their homework. And not only the Democrats, but progressives everywhere. Youth were not united for this election. There was very little effort to reach them the way Obama worked so hard in 2008, and again, not quite as hard, but still hard in 2012, to get the youth vote out. It didn't happen. They did not vote this time, and that's where a lot of progressive support comes from, and a lot of other support
Jack,
was just...
How much of this, you know, wait a minute. Well, you actually live in Kansas, but you're going to school in Texas. I'm sorry. You don't have a Texas ID card. You can't vote.
Exactly.
There was a lot of purging also by the conservatives.
Oh, sure was. And there was
reports,
a lot of North Carolina, where Kay Hagan barely lost. There were reports of a lot of election machine irregularities. One person had to vote four times in the Democratic column to get the Democrat's name to show up. Otherwise, it would automatically default to the Republican. Now, if people did that and thought their vote counted, and then all of a sudden it defaulted, we don't know how many of those votes were lost.
Well,
that's real voter fraud, my friends.
Well, here's the other thing, too. I saw a lot of arguing going on in the last few days, especially at the beginning of the week, about whether a vote counts or not, especially from activists, which really kind of ticked me off. But especially
they should know better than that.
In this state. But the point is that blaming millennials for not showing up, and they didn't. They didn't
rank.
They did not show up. You know why they didn't show up? Because they were spoon-fed lies by Obama. And
that's true, too.
And they don't care for him. They don't care for any of the candidates. So they have no one they feel that they can vote for. It's not that they don't want to vote. It's there's no one there that they feel they can vote for.
That's a good point.
I applaud that. I went and I voted. And I defaulted to Democrat when I had to. And, of course, the lesser evil in the governor's office here. And it was only a few votes. It was only a few votes. And I was really pissed off at how many Florida activists I saw saying that the vote didn't count. It really pissed me off because now the Affordable Care Act and the expansion of Medicaid will have a hard time here. We don't get medical marijuana. We don't get a lot of things.
Yeah.
And offshore drilling has a foot in the argument again. And it's just...
Oh, yeah.
Whereas Chris stood against offshore drilling, he stood against, even when he was a Republican. So
I just can't believe what happened in Florida. I mean, that it was even that close.
The lesser of two evils, and David is saying this, and I agree with him, the lesser of two evils bullshit does not convince the young people at all, or minorities at all anymore. They're like,
you got to have the real thing.
Yeah, I'm going to say, Glenn, I cannot disagree with that statement at all. I think that's definitely a very good point to bring up and drive home, which kind of gets us back to the beginning of our statement here is Democrats have got to stand up for what they find as their values. If you don't stick with your values, then you're not going to get the turnout.
But you don't.
Well, they got to quit being Republican light.
Exactly, exactly.
We don't need the ones that are already there. There isn't a freaking candidate, in my opinion, guys. There's not a freaking candidate on the roster right now. Damn few, less than 50, I can think of across this country.
Oh, yeah, less than 50.
That I would even take a second look at. Yeah, it's Democrat, Republican, it's all the same grab-ass bullshit going on in D.C.
Right.
And that's just...
Well, you know, the only comment I'm going to make is this, regarding the lesser of two evils thing. Let's see what these people say in 2 years after Joni Ernst has had her say in Congress and her influence, and the rest. And Paul LePage has gone rampant again in Maine. Let's see what these people say then about the lesser of two evils. I think they'll find that they made a big mistake, and I'm sure they did. But that's neither here nor there. What happened, happened. And what we've got to look forward is to the future, and we've got to make sure that progressives weed out these corporate shills and these idiots that are namby-pamby Democrats that are weak-kneed, that won't stand up for what they believe in and what they're supposed to do.
Right. Well, I'll tell you what, and I will call President Obama out on the carpet right now saying, you have the veto power. No matter what this corporate shills of the Republican Party and Democrats who go along with them do to try to devalue, to de-escalate the quality of life of the working middle class, he better damn veto everything. He's not going to be reelected anyway. He's got nothing to lose. He should stand his ground and just really give him a toe-to-toe fight saying, screw you, you're simple-ass bastards. I'm not going along with you.
Wayne, he is standing for what he has stood for all along from the first life, from not prosecuting on torture all the way down the road. He's been a corporate toady. That's what he is. He's not going to do anything different than he ever planned to do. Son of a B is going to bring in nuclear energy as one of the largest bills brought through to put infrastructure to the country, putting more bombs together and putting nuclear facilities together. The biggest insanity we got on the edge right now.
No wonder when Bush left that first meeting in 2009, right on the verge of his inauguration, he left that first meeting with him, smiles on his face, because he knew Obama wasn't going to do anything. That's a real disappointment to everybody who voted for him.
It's so disappointing. And on top of that, we have got a Republican House and Senate that are reopening larger doorways to, what is it that, the Israeli financial groups coming through the doors with a bigger carte blanche and our industrial nation now, a larger foothold and anchor in it. Anyone running, I mean, the only one who's got a real... AIPAC. Thank you, David. I mean, this is, and you know who will support that too? Who will support the Israeli donation coming through the door right with them? It's a lot of who people think are progressives, like Elizabeth Warren and, geez, down here, Maria Sachs. I mean, they're all on the financial bandwagon there, and that's the wrong side of the street to me. That's bad news, bad news. And there's just, it's just so, but I do go back to this. Robert Reich did do a wonderful post, I've been trying to find it, where he said there were opportunities here because We're going to see.
It's probably on his website.
Yeah, we're just going to see so many awful blunders and terrible things being thrown through that, you know, it'll open up opportunities for new candidates, maybe. Well, maybe, but I think the only Democrat who's going to have a role in the whole thing is Hillary Clinton, and she's going up, we pretty well know now, against Jeb Bush.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Well, she'll beat Jeb Bush, I'm sure of that. And he appears to be a moderate, but he's not.
Now I was going to say, Jack, I wouldn't be so quick to say that, because the shockwave that came through this last election, I'm not going to throw down my trump cards and say Hillary's got Jeb Bush beat right now.
No,
I think so.
I think there's,
you
there's,
keep in
there's
mind,
too
Wayne,
much of a wild
Democrats
hair factor going.
Democrats did not vote in this. They never do in midterms, this one especially. Democrats come out, especially on a women's vote, she'll win big time. I guarantee you that. She'd have to shoot somebody on stage to screw it up that bad to not be able to win.
Well, it all depends on who she shoots. I was going to say, the mentally retarded son, W. Bush, was on TV today stumping about how good a president his, of course, you know, he was fawning over his father, how much he learned from him, how much respect from Daddy Bush, right?
Oh, shit.
And then,
he didn't follow
right,
any daddy's
right.
of advice.
No, that's his daddy told him, don't go into Iraq. You know, you're breaking
well,
your
Bush,
mother.
The Bushes all lie.
The
let's face
region.
It. They all lie. And
exactly.
Jeb Bush was one of the initial founders of the Project for a New American Century, which was a very hawkish group that advocated us attacking Iraq and getting involved in the Middle East in a war, preventive war.
Jeb
well,
Bush has such a terrible reputation as a thug in this state for the corporations that I don't even think that some of the Republicans down here, the Republican voters, that is, not the politicians, but the voters will support him because of his.
No, I don't think so either.
It's obvious.
Here's what you're going to have. You know, it's kind of pointless to speculate even this early, but I think realistically you're going to have a fight between Jeb Bush, that crazy Ted Cruz, and that crazy Rand Paul. And I think
and
of
Scott.
The three, Jeb
Scott.
Bush will prevail.
Yeah.
Well, you know what David's saying. He said it all comes down to money. You cannot be on the national stage and not be owned. It's too
oh,
much
exactly.
work.
And Jeb Bush is loaded with money, let's face it.
Well, he's also intricate to that Karl Rove strategy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
He was, you know, that was his lollipop as a child. You know,
yeah.
Watching those
yep.
strategies being formed.
You oh,
know,
yeah.
I would say this. I would say the father has nothing on the son when it comes to nasty.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. I mean, you know, he just got pushed along. He just, I don't think that the senior Bush was that much of a leader to begin with. I think he was pushed along with that steamboat Karl Rove outfit in just about everything they could get away with.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well,
I think the children, everybody said that W was just too dumb and that's what was going on, could be, but he knew.
Mm-hmm.
He was going to be the puppeteer. I mean, he would be the puppet to the puppeteer. W. Bush had no original thoughts. He just did what Cheney told him to, Cheney/ the oil puppet owners.
And Karl Rove.
Told him to do. Karl Rove, right.
Well,
yep.
Cheney is part of that cabal, you know? I mean,
yeah,
exactly.
Cheney's a war criminal.
And those guys come out of the freaking Watergate era, man. I mean, that's
oh, yeah.
exactly.
No, their dirt just won't go away.
Yeah. What they learned about Watergate was don't tape anything. Now, it wasn't that he was doing illegal, right? And that he was, you know, committing crimes and being accessory to the fact. It was, don't record it.
And to this day, we still don't know what happened in that energy meeting that Cheney had with all the oil executives. We know it was something horrible, but we just don't know exactly what it was because everybody's kept their mouth shut about it and nothing was taped. Nothing was leaked. But we know we got screwed in the whole deal.
But
sure.
in, meantime, in the meantime, all of the policies that make a big difference to the future of not just this country but the whole globe are being delivered to us by corporate toadies. And this it's not just in
that's because there's too much money in politics right now, and thanks to the Supreme Court for that.
Well, it's happening. Oh, yeah. It's happening in Britain too.
Worldwide.
It's
worldwide corruption. It's just it's been blessed here in this country by the Supreme Court.
No, it's really incredible to me that people are willing to. My mother was right. The masses are illiterate. They really are.
Yeah, a lot of them are. That's very, very true. And that's why we got lonely voices out there like Bernie Sanders, Hartman and Amy Goodman that are out there trying mm-hmm. to peddle the truth and asking questions, but they're not listened to as strongly as the rest of these yahoos on mainstream media, corporate-owned media.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's because what keeps it on the show? Corporate money. If you say things the corporation doesn't want, they yank your funding. You yank your funding, you lose your show, period.
Right, exactly.
That's what happened with the Twilight Zone.
Yep,
well,
exactly. Yep.
That's true. But you know something, it's not just a show anymore. It's all networks. I mean, they're owned.
Absolutely.
Well, they're
right,
all
right,
sensationalistic. Right. They're all vying amongst themselves for the highest amount of viewership, and they all got to outdo each other with the same old nonsense. And it's always got to be sensationalistic. It's got to divert people's attention. They don't go deeply into stories. They just present banner headlines and sound bites, and they expect that to carry the day. But, you know, growing amounts of people are full of that stuff. They don't want any more of it, so they're looking for alternatives.
Either that or they shut down, Jack. I don't know which way to go. I guess it could be one or the other. That's your two choices.
Well, look at the growth on the social media of chats and stuff like that you never used to have. And it's not just because the social media is out there now. It's because people are fed up with the bullshit they're fed every day.
Well,
they're tired of watching Hollywood stars be news on TV, which isn't news. It's just Hollywood entertainment is all it is.
I never get my news sources. If I'm looking for what's going on, I am not going to the television. I'm going to the internet. And
you are in the extreme minority there, honey.
But
I was going to say, I'll go with the BBC, baby.
Yeah, but most people watch CBS, NBC, ABC, MSNBC, or Fox. Fox, by far and away, has the highest viewership of all the cable news networks.
Well,
CNN, yeah.
MSNBC has actually given them a real hit in the groin. But
not that. They're about half their viewership, Gwen. I've seen the statistics. And half is better than nothing, but it's a far cry from really being right up one or two notches below them. They're well below them, and that's a shame.
Yeah. Well, the point is, it's not so much a shame as it is that they're all saying the same thing for whoever's paying them to tout whatever they're saying.
Exactly.
And you're
not hearing anything about net neutrality on CNN anymore because Comcast bought them out.
There you go.
When's the last time you heard anybody on MSNBC discuss net neutrality? They did before they got bought out.
Sure.
Yeah.
Not anymore.
But you made a point saying that the majority of people, it's like David was saying, the masses are manipulated. If media can make the people buy a bottle of water, they can make Kardashian famous. Why would people not think they can be made to vote for whomever? And he's got a great point. The other point is, though, the counterpoint to that is that a lot more people are actually listening to what they see on Facebook. They're clicking off into other avenues. And
oh, that's my point.
Of indie media, people
right.
like... And
free speech
and,
TV, Link TV.
Yeah, Link, Free Speech, RT, even Al Jazeera.
Roku.
Are picking up some of the India media stars that people are making a name for themselves, like Dennis Traynor, and
right.
Lee Camp with his humor but political message.
Yes, I've seen a lot of that on free speech lately.
And Crow brings up another, and I've seen this, another point, because to the people who are naive to what the news actually might be, or to focusing on being led by money powers or whatever, social media is manipulated as well. You know?
Oh yeah. Right.
Well,
yeah.
Corporate America's invaded every realm there is, and some less than others, but they're there everywhere. They're even rewriting Wikipedia pages.
Yes.
It's disgusting.
Yes. Yeah, I've seen some of that going on. If you have a page up, you have to keep a big eye on.
Oh yeah, you do, no doubt about it. Because the right wing think tanks hire entire groups of people to sit and rewrite some of those articles in their favor. It's disgusting.
Yeah, but Wikipedia has a group of people that have a pretty good integrity that go back and forth on those pages, too.
Yeah, but I think they're being overwhelmed. They really are. I've seen a lot of nonsense on there. I've seen a lot of changes.
I know you're right. I know you're right. That's why Wikipedia does such a big job of whenever you're using it to try and ask you to contribute. And they don't want money. They don't want money. They want your time. They want you to come in and fix it up, you know?
Right, yeah. Yeah, so I hope a lot of people will respond accordingly and undo a lot of this right-wing think tank nonsense.
I was going to say, a perfect example of that Wikipedia we were just talking about, Sarah Palin was in New England. And, of course, the woman's dumber than a dog do. She's talking about how Paul Revere ran through the streets ringing his bell. It's like, what the hell is with a bell, right? Well, then a lot of her followers went in and started editing about Paul Revere's ride and, that night. And he said, and sometimes sending the message would be ringing a bell. No. And, Wikipedia jumped on that, took it off, said, no, she's dumb, she's bullshit. You're not going to legitimize her by trying to rewrite the truth.
Right.
But that's
it's frightening to
that's
think
an
of
example
of
where they were able to get on top of it and change it. Again, how much does get through that they can't stay on top of it?
It's frightening to think of the amount of disinformation that's being deliberately put out before the American people that way.
Exactly.
Well, yeah.
Well, there's the old saying, if you can't dazzle them with brilliance, baffle them with bullshit.
And they're trying their best to do that, no doubt about it. Fox does it every day.
Sure. Hey, that's their whole business plan.
Yeah, exactly. That's about it. That's about right, yeah.
I guess
it's not that surprising that a bunch of idiots like Joni Hurst were able to win election. Coupled with all the factors that are involved there, like the voter turnout being low and voters woefully guided on the facts of different matters, it's a miracle that we have any sense in Congress at all.
There's a anniversary that's happening right now that kind of surprised me to see it. 25 years since the Berlin Wall fell down.
Right. Yep.
And there was a wonderful article published in Roundtree 7 over on social media about what actually was going on during. But I was actually in Berlin when that was going on in February. It came in after.
Really?
I took my sister. I had no idea what was going on. I took my
sister.
I took my sister to Europe after my mom crossed the year after in 89. And I had to tell you, I really learned what ugly American means watching some of especially Texans.
Mm-hmm.
While that was going on. And what I saw was I was watching these guys pay kids and people to grab pieces of the wall, basically, and trucks were carrying it away. And... Mm-hmm. It was stunning. It was absolutely stunning. It was a very memorable though visit because I got to drive through Checkpoint Charlie.
Cool.
We hired a cab for the full day, We drove through Checkpoint Charlie. I remember seeing Russian, not Russian, but East German soldiers outside the Russian embassy in East Berlin, where it's this great big dire building that has this huge bust of Stalin's head, bronze in front of it. And these guys were popping champagne that they liberated out of the embassy there and shaking it up and putting it between their legs and, you know, letting it flow all over.
like they were urinating on him?
Yeah.
I sat the last day there. I stayed at the Berlin Hotel, and it's a good thing that I had prepaid for my reservations. And I did that because my Uncle Alex had told me I should, because I was going by visa into East Germany. Because when we got to the Berlin Hotel from the train station, which, oh my God, it wasn't even half complete. It was still magnificent. It was crushed with journalists trying to get a room, and people, you know, from media trying to get a room in there. And there was a film. Yes, I was a spy. There was a film festival going on there, and there's this guy next to me in a pork pie hat that says, and when I finally raised my voice and said, I have a confirmed reservation, he did the same thing. And we were led up towards the desk. I mean, the place was just crushed. My sister, who is a teetotaler, went to the bar. It was that boom. And I'll never forget, we're standing there, and silly syllables started coming out of this guy next to me trying to get attention. I looked over, it was Bobcat Goldthwait. And he looked
at me.
He said, are you having the problem I'm having here? And I said, I think I'm having the problem you're having there. And I said, who are you kidding with that pork pie hat? He said, I had on a British racing cap, and he gave me the same thing back. I mean, it was hysterical because these journalists were just crowding, crushing, and saying, you know, I'll buy your room. It was terrible. The journalists. And the entrepreneurs who were buying, or who were actually just lugging away pieces of that wall.
They made a fortune.
And to me, it should have been crushed in dust and dropped in the abyss of the ocean myself.
That's right. Yeah, I agree. What a momentous thing for you to be part of, Gwen, how lucky you were. That's great. That's outstanding.
We just kind of stumbled into it. But I will tell you this, I got a read from David, and he's quite right. One of the things that just drives him nuts and to a foam-at-the-mouth frenzy is the idea that Reagan had anything to do with the fall of the Berlin Wall. And it's got as much legitimacy as David Hasselhoff, even the fall of the Soviet Empire, for that matter. And I've seen some of the stuff written. And I got to tell you, yeah, absolutely. David's completely right. That was something that was one of those events that, and I mean, it really was Hitler. It really was Hitler. If you could have seen people, I'll never forget watching this young woman. I was sitting at this little courtyard where there were shops all along the bottom at the train station. And this one woman, you could tell she was from the East because of her clothing and how she was acting. She picked up a magazine off of a stand and read a story in it, was very careful with it, carefully put it back, stared at it for a long time, and then picked it up and started reading it again. I'll never forget watching her doing that. I can't forget seeing her pick up a pair of sandals on a table and looking at them. And sort of fondling. It was just such an experience to see somebody who looks so shell-shocked walking across and seeing that, and then to have this incredible piece of fortune that you're there at this time, and then to drive through Checkpoint Charlie with, I got to tell you, we had a taxi driver who was a West Berlin woman who wore nothing but black leather, but that's SOP for Berlin. And my sister could tell. She said she's a junkie. You know, I said, okay, what is she going to lose us? You know, we paid her for the whole day, and she took us everywhere. And she even knew places in East Berlin that we would want to see. Oh, you got to see this. We spent 4.5 hours driving around East Berlin, seeing people just, oh my gosh.
Oh, fascinating.
Oh my gosh. So when the Berlin Wall fell, that was an incredible, incredible thing that happened for the good of not just Germany and for East West, but it was an incredible.
For humankind.
Yes, yes. And to have to have those kinds of events happening more and more would be my goal, you know, my dream. I mean, really.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's what a lot of people had in hopes for with the Arab Spring, but unfortunately, it took a turn for the worse.
Well,
right. Yeah.
Yeah, it had so much high potential, but the reactionaries, the religious fanatic reactionaries, took over.
Well, the Egyptian military, you know.
Well, that too. That was another one too, right?
Yeah. So.
You know what?
That spoiled that.
I don't think, and I'll never forget his name, Mohammed Bouazizi. It all began there. I really think so. And I don't.
Yeah,
think
that's the guy that lit himself on fire.
I don't think there might be a flicker in the embers yet, you know?
It's still simmering, you bet.
I don't think it's over.
Sure,
I know my Occupy group is still meeting around. They do things in my community. I never make it over there anymore, but I see the meetings posted. I keep as current as I can as to what's going on. But they're working with specialists, people who have gotten out of the banking business and industry to help with people who are losing their homes. They've got that going on. And they're also the people who are trying their best to get our food banks restocked.
Mm-hmm.
So it's still out there. Occupy is everywhere, really.
Oh, you know, and in the vision that people had it's still valid, and people are still they're dealing with it in the best ways that they can. They've been, you know, this election was a downer, of course, but not all things were bad. For example, Monsanto narrowly defeated a bid to have GMOs be labeled in Oregon and in Colorado, but Monsanto failed big time in their attempt to have the same ban lifted in Oahu, I think it was. There they spent 87-1 in favor of their position, which was to keep any labeling from happening at all. And actually what happened is GMOs got banned outright. And the people are and the lying ads. I saw some of the lying ads that they ran. It was stuff. Oh, well, you know, these guys that were for anti GMOs, no GMOs. Oh, they were anti-farmer and all this stuff. And they had refutes on TV. People refuting that, farmers saying, "We're not anti-farmer. We're against it. We're the farmers. We're against the GMOs."
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the ads are accurate, and we're. You know, they threw it right in their face, and 87-1, and every one of those $87 that they spent in aggregate got wasted because it didn't work. It didn't serve them right.
It just goes.
Well, they were able to write it off of their taxes. The taxpayers will cover that bill.
They don't care, right?
Gentlemen, it just goes to show you though, when something is really, really wrong, and it's affecting the community, people can get together still and do that. And it's interesting too to. Remember, as far as that Berlin Wall goes, and I'm quoting David, that people endured in Germany for decades against that wall.
Sure.
I think Reagan came over and said a few words, and then suddenly it fell.
He did that beforehand,
So many people gave their lives in defiance of it. insults those who you know, who really did fall for it. And East Germans endured the Stasi secret police all those years.
All of those Eastern European countries endured that stuff.
Family members spied on each other. It was a poisonous atmosphere that we seem to be rapidly emulating insecurity in this country, and he's right.
That's a good point.
By the way, it's called the Patriot Act.
Yeah.
Well,
there's nothing patriotic at all about it.
Gwen and Jack, here's something that I'd like to bring up, and we've kind of touched on it a little bit. You know, Reagan's been given the credit. You know, St. Ronnie has been given credit for bringing down the Berlin Wall. But
where
it really started was there was a new pope called John Paul. He was Polish. He went to Poland and spoke. He grew a big crowd. And then all of a sudden, people got looking around and say, hey, there's a whole bunch of us here. And it was a union electrician in a shipyard who knew how to organize because he was a union organizer.
In Gdansk,
said,
that's right.
I am going to start a movement.
Lech
Walesa. There you go.
Yeah, I remember.
And that's what brought down the fall of Russia and Poland, Czechoslovakia, Eastern Germany. St. Ronnie didn't do
Romania fell.
Or the Iron Maiden. Thatcher, you know, those two is like, boy, they really took God down. No, it was the Pope who gathered the people and everybody looked, and the people empowered themselves through their union representatives.
Exactly.
That's a note that the working middle class in this nation needs to take a look at. Their union representatives.
Well, the union's got to get strong again. They got to get less corrupt.
You know, I got to ask you guys, speaking of that, bringing that up, you notice that this Pope Franny has been saying a lot of things. He even demoted, what's his name, our conservative.
Nolan's his name, Nolan. Father Nolan.
He demoted him. But do you think that the messages that are coming out of this Pope are making a wide difference in people that they think? Because it's in a political direction.
Well, it's a struggle. It's a struggle in the hierarchy.
Exactly. Well, Jack, let me give you this example. I'll say this from the perspective that both wives and both my daughters are Catholic, okay? So I don't have any bone against the Catholic religion. But this Pope has said, you know, we need to accept those of the, you know, that were born gay.
Right.
We need to accept those who, the marriage didn't work out for one reason or another, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's no way that anybody's going to tell me that my marriage to my wife, Carol, right now, is not legitimate because she's the best thing that ever walked into life. She is the true mother of my first daughter because my ex-wife is just down in Florida Keys paying margarita bill, which is fine with me. And she is the best maternal influence on both of my daughters. The success of my daughters is because of her. I will not have the Catholic Church saying, but she's not your real wife.
Yeah, well, they're not attempting to do that.
The point
is that he
isn't just talking about a few things. He is taking wide swings. He just pronounced that the Big Bang Theory does not, it doesn't mean. He said it's science is viable.
Absolutely. Yes, I agree with that too.
And he said there's no conflict, but there shouldn't be no conflict. Between the two.
Between religion and science. He's absolutely right, and you're right. Unfortunately, the fundamentalists in this country still think the world's flat. So the Bible says so.
There have been a number of untouchables that he's just wrangled and twisted right back around.
Why the conservative hierarchy is in an uproar over it, but they're going to lose.
Yeah. Well, the red
Here's the other point I want to bring up. Here you've been raised, say you're 60 years old, and here you've been raised not only in, when women had to have their head covered to go into church, I remember that well,
Oh, yeah.
Really, until the reform movement said, well, yeah, we can accept women a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you've been taught something your whole life that, you know, it's black and white, it's black and white. And then this pope comes along who's head of your religious sect saying, yeah, wait a minute, hold on, not so much. Well, then that tells these people they're very fearful because this says, well, maybe everything I've been told my whole life is incorrect.
Well,
right.
I don't know how, I mean, I went to a parochial school. I was raised a Catholic. I went to parochial school until I got put into boarding school. All my grade school was under the nuns, and they still wore habits in those days.
Yes.
I've had that classic education. I will tell you this. pardon me. Catholics, on the most part, are the ones who end up going, a majority of them end up getting a higher education, and the majority of them become liberal Democrats.
Right.
And
interesting to note, there's a really disproportionate number of Catholics on the Supreme Court, and a lot of them are in the conservative column, but there's an amazing amount of Catholics on the Supreme Court.
That's an abnormality, as a matter of fact. That's an abnormality. And here's the other thing nobody's talking about either, the reason this pope is doing this. 70% of the Catholics have left the church because of this conservative bullshit in the last 20 years.
Right.
Oh, yeah. That is a true statement. Right. Yes.
Their bank account is pits up. Excuse me.
Right. Yeah. I'll tell you this. Yeah, my wife's the church that my wife and my daughters go to. You know, in the 20 years of my youngest daughter's life, we've seen basically, we'll call it just simply say the white Anglo-Saxon population has vastly diminished, and the Latino
Hispanics
is what's keeping
up.
That church alive.
Right.
That's very true in many communities.
And I mean, and I say, you know, of course, as I've said before, I welcome the Latino community, legal or illegal. Even illegal, mm-hmm. what it is, you came here to make a better life for yourself and a life for your children.
Right.
Just as the Irish did, just as the Germans did, just as the Italians did, you know.
And the French and everybody.
And I was going to say, right, all the waves of immigration is the mm-hmm. same reason.
Well,
and
I welcome
those of Hispanic.
Jack, I got to ask you, what do you say to hopeful progressives at this point?
You don't be despairing, because I'll tell you what. Let's look at that election a little more closely. Not only did people elect goofy Republicans for a number of reasons, but the real amazing thing is that everywhere, not just in certain states, certain locales, certain regions, but everywhere across the country, even in the South, progressive measures passed overwhelmingly. There was overwhelming support across the South for ballot initiatives that supported a minimum wage increase, something Elizabeth Warren campaigned for actively in the South even, and was wildly accepted positively everywhere. And so what do? They elect goofballs in, you know, in Arkansas and everywhere else, and in Florida they reelect Rick Scott. That's an abnormality. That's the real abnormality, because progressive measures get widespread support wherever they're put before the voters, and that has been the case for a long time. People are not buying Reaganomics anymore. They're not buying trickle-down economics. They're not buying tax breaks for the rich, and this stuff is going to disappear. It's up to us progressives to keep that ball rolling in the right direction, the correct direction.
Well, they reelected that son of a bitch in Wisconsin. I couldn't believe that.
I couldn't believe that either. But again, that's Koch brothers' money.
Yeah.
Well,
here's the other thing, too. Maybe, you know, let's try to look at this maybe in a positive aspect. You know, you give these dirtbags enough rope that once again they'll hang themselves. So when it comes around to 2016, people are going to say, I've had enough of this crap. I'm not taking any more.
Exactly.
And
that's going to be a different realm in 2 weeks.
The Democrats are going to have to hammer them on that point.
You think there's
call
any
call out on it. Confront them. Go face to face and toe to toe with them.
You can't think there's any chance in hell of that happening. I mean,
I don't know.
You've got to contribute, and you've got to support
now,
the Democratic Progressive Coalition.
Right. And this is what it's going to take. Whether they step up or not, it's up to them.
Basically, Jack, I don't support Democrats in my own state because they're mouthpieces for, you know.
Oh, yeah, like Debbie Wasserman Schultz.
I have a lot of independent and green candidates that I do actually vote for. You know,
well, look at the Democratic Progressive Caucus. It consists of true progressives like Jan Schakowsky in Illinois. You can't fault her in any area. Keith Ellison is another marvelous example. There's all kinds of them. It's just that they don't get national media attention, but they're active and they're desperately trying, and they need support. They need financial support. They need voter support, and they need their message needs to be popularized. And according to if I have anything to say about it, it will be popularized in the next 2 years.
Well, and this may be a good opportunity for a grassroots aspect to start surging up from the ranks and take over.
Right.
Well, the lady you want to bring on from Oregon, she was a socialist.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Gashama Sawant.
She ran as a socialist, and people elected her in because they listened to
her. And she has a degree in economics. Isn't that amazing?
Well, no. I think that's really wonderful, but it doesn't amaze me that a socialist has a degree in economics. What does amaze me is
she got elected.
Yes. And it tells it, but the message there is that basically, oh, we lost Jack. Jesus.
Oh, no. Poor Jack.
The message there is that basically, you know, you absolutely can't get the job done.
Something happened. Yep.
I was going to say, you get tired of us, Jack?
No, and it wasn't me. It just happened. It's some teabagger out there didn't like me.
That's what it was. He pulled the plug on you.
We've only got 3 minutes left, guys, but I hear your message, Jack. I think the other
There are a lot of good things to come and to not be discouraged about, and I urge everybody again, like I've been doing for the last 5 years, keep pushing forward. It's the only way we can go. We can't look backward anymore.
Right. Stand your ground. It's your,
yes,
for your
exactly
own
right.
Self-benefit.
Put up your dukes. Put up your dukes.
Exactly. Exactly.
Bad choice of words, Wayne, for a Floridian. Stand your ground is something we're trying to get rid of down here.
I am so ashamed. You're absolutely right. Poor choice of words.
Be steadfast. That's good.
Well, that's an anomaly of what the phrase really means.
Yeah, I know, but still. Yeah, well, let me reword that. Don't be afraid to get your lip bloody by confronting someone who wants to try to take your quality of life away from you and your work and your rights.
Good point.
Don't be
good
afraid
point.
To get your nose bloody, your lip busted, you know.
Stand up for yourself and your beliefs.
And, right, be yourself and be true to yourself.
Very true.
Vos veritas liberat.
That's right.
That's Latin for the truth will set you free.
Meanwhile, the battle keeps on going. I'm going to post on Thursday about good websites that people should go to that have an inspiring message and a good cause for people to believe in and to take part in so that we can keep the ball pushing forward instead of going backward. And even in the darkest hour, you can light some light and make it count.
Exactly. It's time to rekindle the flames.
That's exactly right.
That's true, and we need to get somebody from Move to Amend back on.
Yes, definitely.
Yes, absolutely.
Gentlemen.
And another one. And another one against gun violence. Demand a plan. That's great. I'll talk about it in my blog.
All right.
Talk to you next week.
Good evening, everyone. Great show.
Yep, keep pushing forward.
The Sunday show on every Sunday evening at 6 p.m. Thank you for listening. Jack Jodell, F. Wayne Johnson, and I'm Gwen Berry. That's it.